I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Big Island of Hawaii. Right now, we're at the Trellis Coffee Company, and we're with Judy Bolter. Hi, Judy.
Hello.
How long have you worked here?
I've been here about 7 years now.
And you're not a local girl. You had a change in your life, huh?
I did. Yeah, I moved here about 19 years ago from Colorado with my daughter.
So what brought you here? What made you make that decision?
I made that decision. We came here to vacation, my daughter and I did, and she was about not quite 4 years old at the time, but she's adopted from Korea. And so when we vacationed here, she got off the plane onto the tarmac, and she looked around and she said, "Mom, there's people that look like me."
Oh, how touching.
I know. So I went home and I thought, yeah, I'll put my house up for sale, because we came from a little agricultural community in Colorado. And I thought, nah, nothing's going to happen. 3 weeks later, we ended up moving here to Hawaii. Wow. We've been here ever since.
Mm-hmm. And so how did you survive? What did you do?
By meeting a lot of the really nice local people. And once you meet one, you meet possibly the whole island. And I got interested in the coffee industry because I promised myself I wasn't going to do another job I did not enjoy doing. And my whole life started to turn around at that point.
So when did you come to work for the Trellis Coffee Company, and why did you pick the Trellis? There are a lot of other coffee growers here on the island.
I had started to learn a lot about coffee, and I had heard about this company and the unique way that they grow their coffee.
What makes it unique? Why is it different?
Well, they're the only ones in the world that grow their coffee on a trellis system, which just means that they grow it vertically and horizontally, exposing it to a lot more nutrients, and it makes it a lot sweeter and smoother. The coffee here is just amazingly delicious. They can increase their productivity levels by about 35% growing it this way. It's opening it up to those nutrients, and trellising it protects it from Mother Nature. It can protect it from windstorms, mudslides. So it not only creates a sweeter, smoother coffee, it increases production, protects it from Mother Nature. It just was all intriguing to me, and I wanted to learn more.
And so what do you do here primarily?
Over the years, Dr. Joe and Deepa have been amazing people to work for, and that's part of what makes it an amazing job also, is I've learned to do a lot of things. Dr. Joe has classes. I've learned roasting, grafting. Last week, we just had a class on processing. So hopefully today I'm going to go down to the wet mill and learn and see a lot more in depth on processing, because I can't tell everybody on tours and stuff, you know, this is how you do it. I'd love to see. I love to learn. And Dr. Joe provides that opportunity, and Deepa, for us all to learn everything here. So I've managed the gift shop. I do tours, a little bit of everything here.
So this is your home?
Definitely. It's my home away from home.
Tell us a little bit about Kona coffee and what makes it so distinctive and truly unique in the world.
Well, Kona coffee is the third most expensive coffee in the world. There's almost about 700 coffee farms here in the Kona area, but there's only about 30 of us, like our coffee here at Kona Joe's, that does the whole processing end of it. It's unique.
Including roasting.
Right. It's unique because Kona sits in a little pocket. So more of the lava was flowing through this little area than anywhere else. And it's that volcanic soil that has so many rich nutrients in it that lowers the acidity levels for us naturally. Then you add trellising on top of that, and it's kind of like,
perfect. I love it. Around the world, there's a narrow band latitudinally that where you can grow coffee to begin with, right?
Correct. Here, if you go any further down than 800 feet above sea level, it's too hot and too dry. If you go any higher than 2,300 feet, it's too cold and too wet. We're located here at about 1,400 feet above sea level, and that's kind of right in the middle. That's where the coffee belt is, and it runs about 20 miles.
That's the ideal,
long.
Yeah. So I was going to say, the Big Island is so big that you can put all other Hawaiian islands on the Big Island and still have a little land left over. So even on the Big Island itself, you can't really grow Kona coffee anywhere or everywhere. There's, like you said, this little prime pocket, correct?
You could grow it other places, but this is, like you said, this is the prime area. Any of the variables on that, like you said, are going to make a difference in the taste and the quality of your coffee.
So altitude is essential in itself.
Just like wine.
Well, tell us some more. Tell us about some of the nuances of Kona coffee that you're most proud of here.
Our Kona coffee tends to run more on the milk chocolate, floral notes. And I think a lot of the misconceptions that I hear people talk about is they refrigerate and freeze their coffee. And that's two of the worst things in the world you can do to your coffee.
And that's because of dehydration?
Well, you don't refrigerate it because coffee beans are like little sponges. They're going to absorb any odors they're around. So I always tell everybody, take a big breath of the inside of your refrigerator, and that's what your coffee is going to taste like. And I get a lot of really funny faces when I ask them to do that. You don't freeze your coffee. A lot of people think if you freeze your coffee, it's going to last longer. And actually, coffee beans get their flavor and caffeine from an oil that's tucked up inside. So when you freeze it, that oil is going to separate like oil and water, and it's going to stick to the inside of your bag. So all that money you just paid for your coffee is just gone.
And again, buying Kona coffee is like an investment in gold. You want to savor and cherish and nurture the Kona coffee beans that people buy and then bring home with them. So what do you recommend for preservation so you don't have to drink it all in the first couple weeks?
Well, the best way to store your coffee, you want to store it in a cool, dark, dry place like a cupboard or a pantry, and you want to store it in an airtight container, something you can express the air out of. So once you open it, beans will last for 8 months, grounds 6 months. Unopened, from roasting date on, your beans or grounds will last for 2 years.
Wow.
See, so you don't really have to refrigerate it anyway.
So it's all how you preserve it and protect it, and it's kind of creating an anaerobic environment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you were talking about coffee being, you know, as expensive as gold. Mm-hmm. That's one fun fact I found out not too long ago, that coffee beans are second traded on the NASDAQ floor, only second in trading to oil.
Wow.
So we're a bunch of coffee addicts out there.
That's for sure. I'm one of them, yeah.
Me too. I'm right behind you.
And always in pursuit of the, oh my God, coffee of the world. And one of my favorites, in addition to Kona, is Blue Mountain in Jamaica.
That's the second most expensive coffee in the world. Do you know what the first is?
You know, I just was told that a few months ago, and I think it's like down in Africa.
No.
Where is it?
Actually, we call it kitty litter coffee here.
Wow.
It comes from Indonesia.
Oh, I know. Tell that story. That's amazing.
It's the one that the civet or the lemur, actually, it bites the cherry off of the tree, and it wants that sugar content that's in between the skin on the coffee cherry and the bean in the middle. There's a sugar content in there. It sucks that sugar content off, and the cat must not be very smart because it doesn't spit it out. It swallows it, and its stomach acts like a fermentation process. Then it poops it out. And they rinse it and roast it, and it's called Kopi Luwak. And depending on your commodities market, it can range anywhere between about $600 to $800 a pound.
Wow, isn't that incredible? What a story. All thanks to kitties.
So Kona coffee's not so expensive after all, is it?
That is a great story. How about yourself? You know, what are some of your most fun, enjoyable coffees in addition to Kona?
I'm with you. I really like the Jamaican Blue Mountain. That's one of my favorites.
There's this whole hierarchical world of Blue Mountain There's some that have that name on them, but they're not quite the purest Jamaican blue melon.
Yeah.
You have to be really discerning on where you source it and how.
All right, so what we're doing here is we're flavoring our coffee. So we would put our ground coffee in these drums, and we're going to lightly spray on our natural oil. And we do that because when you use a bean, that oil is going to settle to the bottom of the bag, and then it's just going to be inconsistent in flavor. So we always recommend that you buy your flavored coffees in a ground form. It's just more consistent in flavoring.
One more thing, and this is really important in the world of discerning culinary people, is organic. And that's a real issue with coffee worldwide, or the sprays and chemicals that are used. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about organic here.
We are not certified organic, but we're as organic as we can be. We don't use chemicals or pesticides. We use natural things, sulfur, magnesium, and we're always checking our trees to see what they do need, but we don't use chemicals or pesticides.
So it is a true natural organic process.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. I love working here, so I this is my vacation, so I don't get out too much.
And the world comes to you. You must meet some fascinating people.
Oh, it's wonderful to work here. I really do. I work for some fantastic people, and I get to meet a lot of really nice people also.
And here we are, what, 1,500 feet above the ocean. Your setting, your work environment, it's tropical paradise. Every time you're walking around, it's like you're on instant vacation. Yeah.
Yeah, this is my work view every day, looking out into the Pacific Ocean.
They should probably put blinders on you to keep you focused.
You just have to come back and visit us more.
Yeah. No, this has been a great morning. Thank you so much for sharing, Judy.
Well, thank you for stopping by. I've enjoyed talking to you.
Judy Bolter with the Trellis Coffee Company, Kona, on the Big Island of Hawaii. How cool.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed talking to you. And mahalo and happy coffee drinking.
I will look forward to that. Thank you so much. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Hawaii.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.